The BetMGM Network presents to you the most unique show in sports.
I'm an NFL junkie. I think I like the NFL more than my wife. Don't tell her. Don't tell anybody. I love the National Football League.
A show so unapologetically original, it needs its own word to describe it. Wagertainment.
Money won is twice as sweet as money earned.
Featuring the prop king himself, Nick Kostos.
Can't you see? Oh, can't you see? What betting the Dolphins been doing to me?
Much like when Clark Kent enters the phone booth and emerges as Superman, Tua Tagovailoa became his alter ego. Tua turned the ball over.
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
What's up, everybody? Happy and merry, magnificent Football Monday to you and yours. This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Nick Kostos, Femi Abebefe, our crew, and you here on the Odyssey app, on SiriusXM, on YouTube at youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. Like and subscribe to the page, youtube.com/@TheBetMGM Network. And if you're watching the show right now on YouTube or Twitch, please like and subscribe. Support the show for all the hours of free wagertainment we bring you on a weekly and daily basis. We are on YouTube. We are on Twitch and heard on radio stations nationwide and permanently inhabiting spots in your hearts and in your minds as we bring you the fastest show in all of wagertainment. Talking all things sports betting. The show presented today and always by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up today on the show, Femi and I will recap the betting weekend that was in football. And if I had to summarize the weekend in two words, those two words would be Jackson Arnold. Hey, jerk. That's coming up to start next hour. Full betting recap from the weekend that was in football. Femi and I will also tell you the games that we like for this coming weekend in both college football and the National Football League. And Femi and I touched base a little earlier, as we do every morning before a show. And we both agree on a disgusting side this weekend in the NFL. A gross side this weekend in the NFL. I don't know how many people are going to want to click that button, but we think it's going to be a winner. What is it? We will tell you in the final hour of today's show. And speaking of the final hour of today's show, that will also feature all our bets for tonight in the world of sports. Most notably, an absolute banger on Monday Night Football to wrap up week number 3 with the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Detroit Lions. Current side and total of that game, Ravens, a 4.5-point favorite, and that's where we've been for a number of days now. Baltimore, a 4.5-point favorite. As far as the total goes, one-way action, all towards the over. We are currently 54 is the total for tonight at our show sponsor, BetMGM. We will give you our bets, side total and props, full analysis for the Lions and the Ravens to close the show in the Power Hour. And we want to know your best bets for the Lions and the Ravens. Type it in the YouTube chat. Type it in the Twitch chat. Your best bet for tonight with Detroit and Baltimore. Could be a side. Could be a total. Could be a prop. Whatever you like. You could bet whatever you like. YouTube and Twitch. Type it in. Tyler Morales, our executive producer today with Bill Zimmerman on vacation. Tyler will read them later in the show, or I will. I don't know. We haven't decided yet. But type it in on YouTube and Twitch. We'll shout you out. Your best bet for Monday Night Football with the Lions and the Ravens. But we officially begin. Magnificent Football Monday edition of You Better You Bet with an ode to the greatest sport in the history of civilization. Human or otherwise. What a witching hour yesterday in the National Football League. It was so electric. It was so unbelievable that you had the sense as it was happening that this is out of the ordinary. That there are great witching hours and there are great NFL Sundays, but perhaps not many as good as this one that we saw week number 3 yesterday, Sunday, September 21st, year of our Lord, 2025. And that confirmed today with this unbelievable statistic. Yesterday in the NFL, 14 games played. 7 of them featured a game-winning score in the final 3 minutes. That is tied for the most on an NFL Sunday since the merger with the NFL and the AFL in 1970. Absolutely preposterous. And in that early slate, we saw ridiculous endings and game-winning scores in the final couple minutes with the Steelers and the Patriots in New England. Aaron Rodgers to Stone Cold Calvin Austin. Austin 316 says, you turned it over 5 times and we beat you by 7 on the road. We saw a game-winning score in the closing moments of the Jets and the Buccaneers in Tampa. Aaron Glenn strutting down the sidelines as Will McDonald had a farm, bringing back a blocked field goal for a touchdown. But you know what? Shake and bake on the other side. Baker Mayfield leads the Bucs for their 3rd game-winning score in the final minute to start a year, the first team since 1970, since the merger, to achieve that feat. We had the Jags and the Texans. Whatever the hell that was. That atrocity, that abortion of a football game, an offensive football game, setting football back to the Mesozoic era with Jacksonville and Houston. I'm pretty happy that the Jaguars won. We had the Browns and the Packers, and we were absolutely loving it. We had the Bills in the barn and Survivor on Thursday night. We were rooting for chaos, and damn it, we got some. As the Browns upset the Packers, a blocked field goal at the end of the game. It was blocked field goal day in the National Football League. Joe Flacco, a couple passes, and then Andre Schmidt, the rookie kicker, 55 yards to knock the Green Bay from the ranks of the unbeaten. And then, of course, the main event, the Eagles and the Rams in Philadelphia. And we will get to all the betting implications, and there were many from that game, as Jordan Davis rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling. 330 pounds, looking like Usain Bolt running that blocked kickback as time expired. And man, I did not bet the Rams. But as someone who has suffered some just mind-numbing defeats thus far this season, I do have sympathy. If you had the Rams plus the points, that's one of the worst beats you could possibly fathom or imagine with the way that game ended yesterday. Just absolutely ridiculous. So we'll get to all the betting implications, but we need to start with the game itself. Eagles 33, Rams 26. And I hate to just dismiss the losers of the game. Guys, I will talk a little bit about the Rams. But for now, we're going to put the Los Angeles Rams to the side. Because to me, this game was all about the reigning, defending Super Bowl champion, Philadelphia Eagles. And the battle raging inside of them. Devil on one shoulder, angel on another. The good and the bad. The yin and the yang. 2023 versus 2024. For the first half of that game yesterday with the Eagles and the Rams, that was the 2023 Philadelphia Eagles offense. That was Brian Johnson calling the plays. That was an impotent offense that couldn't get the ball down the field to amazing wide receivers that had the fans in Philadelphia booing the home team. That was straight out of the 2023 playbook. An offense with a stud offensive line, even with Lane Johnson having to leave the game. We'll see about his status coming up for this week's game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Stud offensive line. Super Bowl MVP quarterback Jalen Hurts. Offensive player of the year, the reigning Saquon Barkley at running back. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, returning Dallas Goedert. 33 total yards of offense at halftime. Minus one passing yards, including sacks. 1.5 yards per play. I'm getting texts from friends of mine, Eagles fans and otherwise, including our executive producer today, noted Philadelphia sports fan, Tyler Morales. And everybody saying the same thing. This is the 2023 Eagles. Brian Johnson's back calling the plays. Kevin Petullo, disgrace to Italians. The Italian Brian Johnson. What the hell's going on with this Eagles offense? The Eagles offense is broken. And the Rams led at halftime 19-7 and had a stranglehold of this game. Should have been up by more. The Rams should have been up more, but still up by 12 entering the break. And then went up 19-26-7 on a Matthew Stafford 10-yard touchdown pass to Kyren Williams. This game felt over. I want to know the person out there at 26-7 Rams who felt like the Eagles were going to win. That felt like the Eagles were going to come back and win this game. I tried to tell everybody last week, following the win against Kansas City, where everyone melted down as if the Eagles had lost, and they beat the Chiefs in Kansas City. There's no way this offense is going to go down like it did in 23. No way. Not with that experience under the belt. Not with how smart and how savvy and self-aware Jalen Hurts is. And say whatever the hell you want about Nick Sirianni. Like, there's no way that's happening again. The players are too good. They diagnosed why it happened in 23. And I felt like they are going to be gangbusters. That this offense has got that gear and they're going to hit it. They ain't going down like that. And lo and behold, in the second half, they absolutely erupt. 26 straight points to end the game. 255 yards of total offense in the second half. Over 200 passing yards in the second half for Jalen Hurts. 109 receiving yards, almost all in the second half, for the best player on the field yesterday, A.J. Brown. We told you last week, leading up to the game, Akello Witherspoon being out for the L.A. Rams was a monster deal because the other Rams corners, whether it be Emmanuel Forbes or going down the line, are all undersized. They can't cover A.J. Brown. Physically, they can't do it. And they didn't. A.J. Brown was unbelievable. Unbelievable. A physical specimen. Showed you why he's one of the best receivers in the game. Best player on the field yesterday in Philadelphia. And after A.J. Brown's touchdown that made it 26-21, Goddard had the first one to make it 26-14, then A.J. Brown scores to make it 26-21. The cameras on Fox catch Jalen Hurts in the Jalen Hurts way. He's jawing with the running backs coach Singleton and offensive coordinator Kevin Petullo. Now, for Jalen Hurts, jawing means having like a pretty pleasant conversation. Because for those of you that have seen the video of Jalen Hurts on the game-winning field goal block and subsequent touchdown, you would think that like the field goal was good by the Rams. His demeanor never changes. He's a psycho, right? And I mean that in a positive way, at least on the football field. So Hurts, in a nice way, not like the way like Tom Brady would scream at coaches, and I don't even mean that as a slight at Brady. I would probably fall more in the Tom Brady category if it were me. You can tell that Hurts is pissed. You can tell that Hurts is pissed at Petullo. He's pissed at the way this is going on offense. And if you're an Eagles fan, and if you're someone who likes the Eagles this year to achieve big outcomes, you absolutely had to love it. And after a Rams failed fourth down conversion, after a blocked field goal, the first blocked field goal, here come the Philadelphia Eagles. 17 plays, 91 yards. Jalen Hurts to Devontae Smith. Touchdown. And the Eagles take a 27-26 lead. Now, obviously, both field goal blocks were hugely impactful in the result of the game. But to me, even if that kick had been good at the very end, and it wasn't, the Eagles showed me something that had me believing another super outcome is possible. I'll explain why on the other side. We'll get into the Rams and way more from Week 3 NFL Sunday here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Joshua Cardi has it blocked again! This time Jordan Davis, the big man, looks for the icing on one big cake! Eagles hang on!
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Joe Davis with the call yesterday on Fox. One big cake. One big cake. If I had to paraphrase, the now disgraced former chairman of WWE, Vince McMahon, who once described what The Rock was cooking in The Rock's oven as being a big pile of feces. That's what the cake was, if you bet the Rams. A big steaming pile of feces. And that he said that's how he pronounced it. It still stuck with me. It's still to this day. Gotta love the attitude era. And if you bet the Rams, that cake was rotten as Jordan Davis brought that kick back yesterday. And if you bet the Eagles, then you know what? That's the most delicious son of a bitch you've ever had. That's the best cake you ever had in your life. As Jordan Davis rumbles, bumbles, and stumbles his way into the end zone to cover the spread for the Philadelphia Eagles. So going to break, I said, the result of the game is great for the Eagles because they win. But even if Joshua Cardi's field goal had been good and the Rams had won 29-27, I would still feel the way I do about the Philadelphia Eagles. Because the second half of that game shows that this offense can absolutely put the foot down on the pedal and accelerate when needed. And it's one of the things that's going to be maddening about the Eagles over the balance of the season. And what's been maddening about them in the Jalen Hurts era. Like, they only turn it on when they feel like they have to. Otherwise, they can pretty much cruise to victory and just play boring football and not turn the football over. Now, A.J. Brown's doing his best to get that changed. Brown asked post-game about Hurts' conversation with Petullo on the sidelines, and A.J. Brown, I'm paraphrasing, saying, yeah, we get way too conservative early in games. And he's right. But you can't argue with results. The Eagles, in their last 20 games, are 19-1. 19-1. And they have yet to lose one game where Hurts, Saquon, A.J. Brown, and Devontae Smith all play. Undefeated with those guys on the field. So who cares how they start games? Like, I get it. I mean, I do because I love fantasy football. And, like, I've got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert and Jalen Hurts. I do a million leagues. I'd like for them to score more points. But in the NFL, it's not the BCS. It's about wins and losses. They win every game. Like, they literally win. They win every game. 3-0. Defending Super Bowl champs. All to the DJ Khaled. All they do is win. It's ridiculous. Their Super Bowl price is plus 700, the Eagles. And I just find this funny. And maybe I'm the only one. The Bills are the favorites. Plus 425. I'm being dead serious right now. If I told you, the person watching, you, the person listening, Eagles-Bills Super Bowl, pick the winner of the game. Who's taking Buffalo? Who's taking the Bills? Ravens, Eagles. Who's taking Baltimore? Lamar Jackson in a huge spot against that team? The team that yaks all the games away in the big spot, or the team that wins all the games in the big spot? Give me a break. And I love the Chiefs more than anybody. And maybe the Chiefs end up rounding into form. That version of the Chiefs that played last night against the Giants, we'll see when Worthy and Rice gets back. The Eagles would have beaten them by 20 last night. And I know they played last week, and maybe you make the case the Chiefs could have won if Kelce catches that ball. Come on. Stop. Do my best Mike Ditka impersonation from 15 years ago. Stop it. Best bet on the board to win the Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles. As for the losers of the game, the Los Angeles Rams. So close, but yet so far. I thought Matthew Stafford played pretty well. Puka Nacua is an absolute stud. Jared Verse had the strip sack on Pryor that got the right tackle benched, who came in for Lane Johnson, and then Fred Johnson, Lane's brother, I don't think that's true, comes in and stabilizes the line. You got good performances from your stud LA Rams players. Devontae Adams was great, especially early in the game. Quinyon Mitchell kind of locked him up in the second half of the game. So the Rams players, I thought, played very well. You can put the loss on, you know, the offense for failing to score more touchdowns and put this game away in the first half. I did not like the way Sean McVay handled some of these fourth down situations in this game. I thought he was conservative when he needed to be aggressive. Aggressive when he needed to be conservative. And to me, the worst call was the fourth and one play on the Eagles 46 in the fourth quarter, where down both of his starting guards decided to run the ball with Kyren Williams straight up the middle of the field. Of course, it gets stuffed by Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis, the two Georgia Bulldogs. Of course, that happens. And then on the first field goal block, because they got stuffed on the previous fourth down, he sends out the field goal unit. Like, I get it, like, you want to go up by eight? Like, just go win the game right there. Like, go win the game. I hated that from Sean McVay. And, of course, the field goal gets blocked. I thought McVay psyched himself out. And McVay is a great coach. This is not meant to be, like, burial of Sean McVay. I expect better from Sean McVay. And he's been better as his coaching career has gone on with some of these fourth down decisions. I did not think that he did a good job yesterday. And just to punch the point home on the Philadelphia Eagles, as we kind of look at the landscape of the NFC. The Rams, despite that loss yesterday, I think they're the best team in the NFC West. The news came down a couple hours ago that Nick Bosa, just a gigantic loss for 3-0 San Francisco, who beat the Cardinals in a terrible football game yesterday. Just a brutal, brutal watch. Especially if you have Cardinals to win the NFC West like me. Just an inexcusable loss for the Cardinals. But anyway, Nick Bosa is going to miss the rest of the year for the 49ers. And I know San Fran started 3-0, and they've won a couple games without Brock Purdy. No Juwan Jennings yesterday. Good job by them getting to 3-0. Without Nick Bosa, I just struggle with how this defense is going to get stops in big spots. The best player on that defense, obviously, Nick Bosa. Sam Darnold's still the quarterback of Seattle, and they don't get to play the New Orleans Saints at home every week. And the Arizona Cardinals are like the TV show Lost. Great concept. Terrible execution. The Vikings have Carson Wentz currently as their quarterback. We'll see what happens with the Detroit Lions tonight. The Bucs are 3-0, and we'll see what happens this Sunday. I think the Eagles are way better than these teams. And then there's the team that Femi and others tried to tell you, this is actually the best team in football. This is the best team in the NFC. You bet on this Monday. That team, now the 2-1 Green Bay Packers. Everybody loved and still loves the Green Bay Packers. What happened to Jordan and company yesterday? Losing 13-10 on the road in Cleveland. An inexplicable loss for the Green Bay Packers. Shout out to me with the under of the game. We like that. And also shout out to us for picking the Bills in Survivor. And I'm sorry to anyone who had Green Bay, but I could see you sick. Turn out the lights. The party's over. We loved it. We danced on your grave with the Packers losing. We loved it for Survivor since we had already advanced. I don't even know how the hell this happened. I understand the Packers barely scored in this game. The Browns had 0 points until the final couple minutes. And then all of a sudden they win the game 13-10. Like an unbelievable closing sequence in this game for the Cleveland Browns. And an unbelievable closing sequence for the Green Bay Packers. And just on Cleveland, this is way more about Green Bay, the big story. But we need to say this about the Browns. That defense is legitimately awesome. And we told you all week last week that the reason why the Browns were getting bet like they were, people are like, oh my God, how could this happen? The reason, of course, is because the Browns defense had been awesome to start the year. And what happened with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in week two felt like it was extremely unlucky for Cleveland. And that defense showed up and showed out. Mason Graham looks like a stud. Carson Schweisinger looks like a stud. Miles Garrett's like an alien. That defense is legit for the Cleveland Browns. And they at least are an interesting team moving forward this season, even if we don't think they'll make the playoffs. It is still inexcusable for the Packers to lose that game. Jordan Love, and I love Love. I'm a bigger Jordan Love fan than most, averaged 1.9 yards per pass attempt yesterday. How is that possible? They couldn't run the ball at all yesterday. And look, the Browns defense shut down Chase Brown in week one. Okay, whatever. Shut down Derrick Henry in week two. So maybe it shouldn't come as a huge surprise that they shut down Josh Jacobs in week three. But still, that's not a great sign for the Green Bay Packers. That you can't do anything on offense in this game. And if you emerge victorious, okay, you got away with it. They didn't get away with it. They lost that game yesterday in brutal, brutal fashion and drop to 2-1. Packers offensive lineman, Rasheed Walker. This is probably the first and only time we'll ever mention Rasheed Walker on the show. Said last week that he thinks the Packers will go undefeated. I mean, I got freezing cold take for my Micah Parsons won't get traded take. Where's Rasheed Walker? They immediately lost after that prediction. Obviously ridiculous, and the Packers may be believing their own press clippings. I thought Micah Parsons said it more succinctly and more accurately after the game when he said, and I quote, "We bleeped the bed." And Parsons is right. They did bleep the bed. But he's right about something else that he said as well. Championship teams have games like this throughout the season. And they do. And I like the Eagles. Like, I like the Eagles more than I like Green Bay. The Eagles are not going undefeated either. The Eagles will lose at least one game this season. At least one. Probably two, but maybe three, maybe four. We'll see. That's just what happens over the balance of a 17-game regular season. But I did not like the signs for Green Bay yesterday on the offensive side of the ball. Couldn't move it at all through the air. Couldn't move it at all on the ground. I don't care how good that Browns defense is. Lamar still managed to throw for 4 touchdowns. I expect better from Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers. I like the Eagles more than Green Bay as far as the NFC is concerned. Now, a potential get-right spot does exist for Green Bay because on Sunday night this week, they travel to Micah Parsons' old stomping grounds to take on the 1-2 Dallas Cowboys. And Dallas will be without the services of star receiver CeeDee Lamb in that game. Lamb, high ankle sprain, going to miss at least the next 2 games, not going to be placed on injured reserve. So probably won't miss 4 games, but going to miss at least the next 2 games. And I got a huge laugh out of like everyone. Oh, yeah, maybe he'll play next week. Really? With the high ankle sprain? Not a chance. 0% chance that that happens. And of course, it won't. And once CeeDee Lamb left, also, like, why the hell is CeeDee Lamb, like, running the ball out of the backfield? Like he's Emmitt Smith. What is that from Brian Schottenheimer and Clayton Adams? Cassidy didn't get hurt on a reception. He got hurt on a rushing attempt. And not even like an end around. No. They handed him the ball like he's Javonte Williams. I don't understand what the hell that is. And once he leaves the game, you kind of get that pit in your stomach if you bet the Dallas Cowboys. And it turned out to be the right feeling. Because the Bears handle Dallas. Chicago wins yesterday, gets its first win of the season, first win for Ben Johnson as Bears head coach. The Bears win 31-14. I think it's the best game Caleb Williams has played as a pro. And the first game in Caleb Williams' NFL career where he did not get sacked even one time. Kind of feels like the Cowboys might wish they had Micah Parsons. Or DeMarcus Lawrence. Just saying. And that is a cathartic win for the city of Chicago, a cathartic win for Caleb Williams, a cathartic win for Ben Johnson, especially because it came at the expense of clueless and overmatched Cowboys defensive coordinator, the former head coach of the Chicago Bears, that loser. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but still a loser as far as football is concerned, Matt Eberflus. Caleb Williams, 298 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, and some of the best throws that you'll ever see a quarterback make, including that 62-air-yard throw to Luther Burden on a dime on the flea flicker. But was that performance for real from the Chicago Bears? I'll answer that question on the other side, and we'll continue to rip through Week 3 NFL Sunday.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
To hear the Bears, a little flip to Swift, trying to get a flea flicker. It's way up there. Williams recovers, throws a seed, has a man. It is caught for a touchdown. Luther Burden's first in the league.
You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Jake, I want you to reload that highlight here, and I want everyone to listen. This is becoming like a weekly tradition on the show, where we listen to Tom Brady's sterling color analysis of a play. Now, Kevin Burkhart does an awesome job, as always, painting the word picture, even if you're watching on television. I don't have to tell you everything that's going on, but Burkhart is one of the best and one of the nicest guys of all time. Listen, though, to the incredible, thought-provoking analysis that Tom Brady provides here on this play.
To hear the Bears, a little flip to Swift, trying to get a flea flicker. It's way up there. Williams recovers, throws a seed, has a man. It is caught for a touchdown. Luther Burden's first in the league.
Tom Brady set a Guinness World Record on that call. Most times saying the word oh in a 5-second span. Congratulations to the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. What a throw by Caleb Williams. Seriously. On that flea flicker, DeAndre Swift, like Henry Rowan Gardner, like Ephus pitched the ball like up in the air. It's in the air for like 9 seconds. Caleb gets it, and the throw from Caleb to Luther Burden, 62 yards on a rope, was in the air, it felt like, for less of an amount of time than DeAndre Swift tossing the ball in the flea flicker to Caleb Williams. A ridiculous throw. And Caleb Williams was awesome in the game. And, you know, we'll get into the game somehow going under the total next hour when Femi joins me and we do a betting recap of the weekend that was just soul-crushing. I know that there's a lot of optimism around Chicago and around this offense right now. I was going to do like a National Guard joke after optimism around Chicago, but you know, we have football that we have to talk here. There's a lot of optimism around Caleb Williams and the Bears offense and Ben Johnson right now, and certainly understandable with the way the offense looked. And I'm not here to say that the offense can't be awesome moving forward this season. I would love for it to be awesome. I would love that. I have Bears to win the NFC North. I have a Bears to make the postseason ticket. I would love it, and it would be so much fun if the Bears were good. It makes the NFL better when a team like Chicago, a city like Chicago, has a legitimately good NFL team. I want to give a shout-out to something that Femi says, and I don't know if he said it on the air, And my apologies if he has, because I'm gonna steal his bit here, but I'm gonna give him credit. So I'm not really stealing it. So Femi in our chats, in our like text message chats, calls the Cowboys because in our You Better You Bet show chat, like Jake's a big Bears fan. He was at the game. Tyler loves Caleb Williams. Tyler apparently is gonna paint his nails this week, so we'll see how that goes. Femi calls the Cowboys defense slump busters. And for people that don't know what a slump buster is, and this works both with men and women. This isn't just like a man thing with women. I actually had this happen to me, which sounds like a humble brag. It's really not. Like, I was with this girl in South Florida. And, whatever. And afterwards, she goes to me. She goes, thanks, I really needed that. And then I never heard from her again. getting used isn't great. I'm lying. I enjoyed it. You know, it's like you're a dude, and I'll just speak for men. You know, you haven't gotten action in a while. You're at a bar, whatever, and you see someone that you think is readily attainable. You gotta bust that slump. That's the Dallas Cowboys defense. The Chicago Bears trolling bars at 3 a.m. like young Jake Hassan. Just two or three beers past the limit, desperately looking for action. They gotta break that slump. And they walk into a dive bar. And who do they see standing there? But Matt Eberflus and the Dallas Cowboys. There has never been a greater slump buster than Matt Eberflus and the Dallas Cowboys. How good of a slump buster are Matt Eberflus and the Dallas Cowboys? Well, did you watch the Giants offense last night? Russell Wilson threw for 450 yards against the Cowboys defense last week. So forgive me, and I'm not being a hater. I bet the Bears to make the playoffs. I'm not hating. Can we see them do it against a defense that isn't that? They're at the Raiders on Sunday. Not that the Raiders are the 2000 Baltimore Ravens. They're not. I think the Raiders stink, and I'm on record saying that. I'll tell you what. You make me bet that game right now when we're basically at a pick'em price at BetMGM? The autumn wind is a Raider, pillaging just for fun. They'll knock you around and upside down and laugh when they've covered and won. You better you bet on this Monday. Okay. Since we mentioned the New York football Giants, let's talk about Sunday night football. Giants lose to the Chiefs 22-9. Kansas City gets off the schneid. What a surprise. Can't believe that happened. Can't believe the Chiefs won the game. And I'll save the Chiefs stuff for tomorrow, most of the Chiefs stuff, because Kansas City plays Baltimore next week. And we'll see what happens in the Ravens game tonight against the Lions. But obviously, Kansas City now 1-2, desperately needed that win, and have given themselves a chance moving forward now. At 0-3, it's really tough. At 1-2, obviously, you've got a great chance, especially when you have number 15 at quarterback. So, to me, last night's game, the story is not the Kansas City Chiefs. And we will do a lot on the Chiefs and Ravens on the show this week. We need to talk about the New York football Giants. And if you'll indulge me for a moment here, just as a Giants fan, you know, I've lived a pretty charmed existence, seriously, as a Giants fan. And I know that. The first year that I watched football, 1990, Giants won the Super Bowl that year. January 27th, 1991, over the Buffalo Bills. I watched them beat the undefeated New England Patriots in Super Bowl 42. I was at Super Bowl 46 in Indianapolis, at the game, in the locker room after the game for Sirius NFL Radio, when they beat the Patriots again. I've seen three Super Bowls. I've been alive for four. Born in 83, they won in 86, beat the Broncos in January of 87 in Pasadena. I've seen three. Some people have never seen any, and I don't say that to mock people that haven't seen their team win. I hope everyone gets a chance to see their team win because it's the best. And if you had told me before Super Bowl 42 against the Patriots, the Giants will never win another game, but they're going to win this one, I would have signed up for it in blood. So I can't really, as I get mad, but when I think about that, I try to put things in perspective. But this last 10 years has been as bad as it gets. If you're a fan of the New York Football Giants, as bad as it gets. And throughout McAdoo and Gettleman and Shermer and Judge and Daniel Jones and all and Jake Fromm and Tommy DeVito and Dable and Shane and Hard Knocks, through all of it, I've never hated this team the way I hated watching them last night against the Kansas City Chiefs. Maybe Russell Wilson one day goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Maybe that happens. I hope it doesn't after what happened last night. Last night, the end of that game should be the end of Russell Wilson's Giants career and should be the end of Russell Wilson as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. I don't think this is a hot take at all. It's over. He is horrible. And this goes to the slump-busting point on the Cowboys. That's way more about the Cowboys being brutal than it is about Russell Wilson being good. You had, perhaps, the most mind-numbing goal-to-go sequence in the history of the National Football League. What the Giants did last night with over 3 minutes to play, which, by the way, if they score a touchdown and kick the extra point, they push on the closing number of six. So if you bet the Giants last night, it was extra maddening for you. First and goal. Intentional grounding out of the end zone. You can, like, if like a rookie, if Jackson Dart did that, you can at least say, okay, he's a rookie. Russell Wilson's like 50 years old. Second down, brilliant call by the offensive mastermind, Brian Daboll. Like, quarterback run for a couple yards. Awesome. Love it. Third down, out of the end zone. Fourth down, hits the goalpost. Like, the goalpost is Malik Nabers. 0 points scored. And may God have mercy on our souls. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of this team. I'm sick of Brian Daboll shake. It's all he does on the sideline is shake his stupid head. Like, can't believe what he's watching. Neither can we, buddy. And this is your offense. Jordan Renan of ESPN tweeted today that the New York Football Giants, since last season, 7 games since the beginning of last year, that they have scored less than 10 points in a game. Most in the NFL, and 4 more than the next team. It's year 4. Of Brian Daboll, comma, offensive guru and offensive mastermind. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me with this nonsense? With Daboll and this team? I got to see Joe Shane up in the owner's box. Looking with his suit. Looking like he's going for his first communion. I can't deal anymore. Jackson Dart's got to play. And the good news is, it looks like he's going to. Because look, you can't trot Russ out there Sunday against the Chargers. Because the first play, he throws an incomplete pass, or almost gets Scadabo killed, or Malik Nabers killed, or Wandale Robinson killed, because he almost got his entire, all the skill position players killed last night with hospital balls. The boos are going to drown them out of the building. Daboll was noncommittal this morning about who's going to start at quarterback. I'm going to translate what that means. Jackson Dart's going to start on Sunday against the LA Chargers. You can lock that up. Giants are 6-point dogs in the game. I might talk myself into betting Big Blue, even though I hate them. Hour one done, hour two for you coming up on the other side. More recapping week 3 NFL Sunday, but Femi joins next with the betting recap of the weekend that was.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.